This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
Good evening, faithful listeners, and welcome to Spirit Lounge again on this lovely Thursday evening. Tonight, you're with Rachel, and David is panelling for me tonight.
Hello, Rachel. How are you, David? I'm very well indeed, thank you.
That's wonderful. If tonight, we've got a few interesting topics to talk about. We have our holy day of the week, as per usual, but we're also going to have a great discussion about religion versus spirituality.
An interesting topic.
It is very interesting, and it's something that I'm asked about often, and I really look forward to sharing that with you tonight. But first, let's do our holy day of the week. I told Tal that he needed to make a sound effect for this, but it hasn't happened yet, so I'll just do the holy day of the week. So this week we have Beltane, which is traditionally pronounced Bealtaine, and I had to look this up as it is a pagan holiday, and it is apparently a well-known fact that pagan holidays are hard to pronounce, but I have been informed that it is not offensive to call it Beltane, so that is probably what we'll be referring to our holy day of the week this week. It's also known as May Day, as it is celebrated on the 1st of May.
Which is tomorrow,
but the celebrations do start tonight for Beltane. So it's the pagan and Wiccan celebration of fertility of spring, and it's celebrated in the Northern Hemisphere at this time of year. But for us folk down here in the Southern Hemisphere, we wouldn't be celebrating this until November. But for pagan sake, we're in the Northern Hemisphere tonight, guys, so happy Beltane. So the festivities of Beltane usually begin on the eve of spring, which would be tonight, so the 30th of April, and continue into the 1st of May with bonfires, maypoles, dancing, and lots of sexual energy.
Oh, sounds interesting.
Yes, so the fertility of spring is very important for the pagan and Wiccan communities. So depending on your particular tradition, there are many different ways that you can celebrate Beltane, but the focus is always nearly almost always on fertility.
Is that just because it's associated with spring?
With spring, yeah. So it's the time when the Earth Mother opens up to the fertility god, and their union brings about healthy livestock, strong crops, and new life all around. So it's not necessarily human fertility, it's everything. So if you want your pretty flowers to grow, then now's the time to start celebrating. So the Celts honoured the fertility of the gods with gifts and offerings, sometimes including animal or human sacrifice.
A bit gory.
It is a bit gory, but I think, you know, when you go back to down all of the traditional lines, I think there was a lot of sacrifice in a lot of ancient religions, so it's not surprising. So they used to drive their cattle through smoke of the bale fires, and then they blessed them with health and fertility for the coming year, which is important because you want your cows to have baby cows so that they can either produce milk or meat for you. So the Romans, who are always known for celebrating holidays in a big way, spend the first day of May paying tribute to their lares, the gods of their household. They also celebrate the Festival of Flowers, which consists of 3 days of unbridled sexual activity. You go,
three
Romans.
Days.
3 days. Why not?
It could be fun.
It could be. I hope it's nice and warm for them. So today's pagans celebrate Beltane much like their ancestors did. Their ritual usually involves lots of fertility symbols, including the obviously phallic maypole dance. So I did a little bit of a research into the maypole dance. And if you don't know what a maypole is, it's a tall pole. It's decorated with flowers and hanging ribbons, which are woven into intricate patterns by a group of dancers, weaving in and out. And the ribbons are eventually knotted together by the time the dancers reach the end. And I watched some videos and it looks very flirty and very fun and everyone's just giggling just a little bit. So there are some who believe that Beltane is a time for the fairies. So the appearance of flowers around this time of year heralds the beginning of summer and shows us that the fair are hard at work. So in early folklore, to enter the room of the fairies is a dangerous step, but you should always acknowledge that they're there and appreciate their presence, but you should never delve too deep into the realm of the fairies, apparently.
So sort of skirt around the outside.
Yeah, so if you do believe in the fairies, now is a good time to leave out some cookies and milk like you do for Santa. As a child, I was definitely into fairies and I used to leave out little treats for the fairies and I had a fairy doll house.
Did you really?
I did. I'm surprised my parents allowed that if they had known that it was a pagan and Wiccan celebration to believe in fairies, but I definitely thought that there were fairies, and my parents used to write really tiny handwritten notes.
Oh, did they really?
They did. Oh. It was very cute.
Have you kept any of them?
No, I don't think I have. Maybe Mum and Dad might have. They've got lots of boxes in storage, so maybe there's some fairy letters in there, but I was definitely fairy obsessed. So if you believe in fairies, you say, I must believe in fairies and Tinkerbell won't die, leave her out some cookies and some milk at this time of year. And if you've been wanting to bring abundance and fertility into your life, whether you're wanting to conceive a child, enjoy fruitfulness in your career or creative endeavors, or you just want to see your garden blossom, as I said before, if you want to grow some pretty flowers, then Beltane is the perfect time for magical workings related to any type of prosperity.
So we better get busy tonight.
We better, yes, definitely. So I feel like Beltane definitely should be celebrated for us later in the year, because growing flowers coming into winter in Melbourne may not be so easy, but for all our pagan and Wiccan friends up in the Northern Hemisphere, we wish you a very happy Beltane, or Beltinia, I believe. Is the correct pronunciation?
We have some messages, Rachel. We have someone who says they'd love to spend... Now, let me just check on the pronunciation here. Beltinia.
Yes.
In San Francisco.
Excellent.
In the Northern Hemisphere. That'd be beautiful.
Well, happy Beltinia to you in San Fran.
We have a message from Liam, who thinks that you have the voice of a goddess.
Why, thank you, Liam.
And Betty, thank you very much for listening in, Betty. You're enjoying the show and you love that choice of the song Freedom. And you've already started planting your winter veggies this week.
Well, that's good to hear. So you can celebrate Beltane down here in the Southern Hemisphere. So good luck with your veggies, your winter veggies, Betty.
And there are all the messages for the moment. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Excellent. So tonight, as I mentioned before, we're going to have a bit of a discussion about religion versus spirituality. So, David, how often have you heard, oh, I'm spiritual but not religious?
I have heard it a few times. I suppose as a churchgoer, I don't hear it at church, but in other circles, you do hear it from time to time from people who have either been in a church and moved on, but still have a sense of spirituality, or people who I might not have known their history and say that they are spiritual but they're not religious, which I interpret to mean that not being religious is someone who doesn't go to church in an organised fashion.
Yeah, so I'm often guilty myself of saying I would like to think that I'm more spiritual than I am religious these days, and then I'll continue on with my conversation, but recently I've noticed that people have been picking up on that and being like, so what's the difference between religion and spirituality? Don't you like have to be religious to be spiritual, or don't you have to, you know, have spirituality if you're religious? And I always just said, oh, well, you know, religion's more about like the rules and the going to the church and all of that sort of stuff and the structure, and spirituality is more of like a fluid flowing thing. And then I was like, do you know what? I actually really have no idea. That's just what my interpretation of it is. So I thought that I would do some research into the difference between being religious and being spiritual. And it's actually amazing how much I found, particularly with the words. So the opening sentence of all of the things that I read saying, I bet you've heard the saying, I'm spiritual but not religious. And so obviously a lot of people have been hearing this lately and wanted to do more research into it as well. So I'm not the only one. So tonight we're going to get to the core of what it is to be spiritual versus what it is to be religious. So David, I'd like you to start with some dictionary definitions of religion and spirituality.
Well, let's have a look at the religion first off. A religion is an organized collection of beliefs, cultural systems and worldviews that relate humanity to an order of existence. Many religions have narratives, symbols and sacred histories that aim to explain the meaning of life and or to explain the origin of life or the universe. From their beliefs about the cosmos and human nature, people may derive morality, ethics, religious laws or a preferred lifestyle. Many religions may have organized behaviors, clergy, a definition of what constitutes adherence or membership, holy places and scriptures.
So, David, can you tell us now what is spirituality?
Spirituality is defined as the praxis and process of personal transformation, either in accordance with traditional religious ideals or increasingly oriented on subjective experience and psychological growth independently of any specific religious context. In a more general sense, it may refer to almost any kind of meaningful activity or blissful experience. There's no single, widely agreed definition for the concept, and the term may be applied to a wide variety of practices.
So there you go. That totally wraps it up, puts it in a nice little bow for us, doesn't it?
It does. We can just sign off now and
yes.
We're all done.
Good night. No. So I found those two dictionary definitions of religion and spirituality to be similar, but still quite different. So I decided to continue looking, not just go from one dictionary definition. And I came across the Encyclopedia of Philosophy, and it lists the traits of religion rather than declaring religion to be one thing or another, arguing that the more markers present in a belief system, the more religious-like it is. So these were their dot points. It's one, belief in supernatural beings, in brackets, gods. Second dot point, a distinction between sacred and profane objects. Next dot point, ritual acts focused on sacred objects. A moral code believed to be sanctioned by the gods. Characteristically religious feelings, or sense of misery, sense of guilt, adoration, which tend to be aroused in the presence of sacred objects and during the practice of ritual, and which are connected in idea with the gods. Prayer and other forms of communication with the gods. A worldview or a general picture of the world as a whole and the place of the individual therein. This picture contains some specification of an overall purpose or point for the world and an indication of how the individual fits into it. A more or less total organization of one's life based on the worldview. A social group bound together by the above. So,
it does sound like organized religion.
It does.
As in the organized churches and the various religions that are around by name.
It definitely does. So it includes like the sociological, physiological and historical factors, but it also allows for grey area in amongst that. So atheism.com, which is an interesting place to find the definition of religion. They used these dot points and reworded them a little bit. I will just skim through it and get to the ones that they have actually changed. So their definition said, the first dot point, belief in something sacred, for example, gods or other supernatural beings. A distinction between the sacred and profane, that was one as well. So basically, very similar to the above, but they've taken out those grey areas and they've put it in as gods or supernatural beings, because as you would have heard in the Encyclopedia of Philosophy, they just referred to everything as gods, like the gods, and they're like, or supernatural beings, because, you know, on atheism.com they have information about all of the spiritualities and religions all over the place, and some have gods and some have other supernatural beings and some have none. So they tried to take out all of that grey area and said even atheism is a religion, so let's make it so you can pop that in there as well.
That's an interesting comment.
Yes. Oh, well, look, my research went long and hard, and I could go into all of the religions that I found that are actually religions, that are actually people who say, no, I'm not religious, as in I'm anti-religious, is still being a religion, according to my research.
Well, look, we can just put the bears off. We can have another couple of hours on air tonight.
Oh, we could. I could go on for days about this now. I literally sat for 5 hours or more just researching about religion versus spirituality, and there's just truckloads of information on the internet. So I just wanted to get to the core of why people are so focused on religion being a negative thing and spirituality being the new religion. I wanted to know what it means for people in the LGBTI community to be spiritual instead of religious, which is where you will hear it a lot, and whether or not you can pick and choose the religious or spiritual traits to suit yourself.
We've had another message come in, Rachel. This message, actually, we've got two messages. One from Greg, who says he's listening in. Thank you, Greg. Enjoying the show. That's marvellous to hear. And we have this other one, Rachel, from Paige. Religion has a dogmatic and unquestionable assembly of rules that, in quote marks, need to be followed, in quote marks again, without question. Spirituality invites you to reason and question it all, and allows you to decide your actions and assume the consequences. Interesting thought. I don't necessarily agree that all religion is dogmatic. I think there are some religions that are very focused on you must do, say, whatever. But I think in other religions there is room for question. And I think it's room for question because question is growth.
Yes, definitely. Like, I know in the past we've had some a lovely young man who is pagan on the show, and he definitely said it is a very flexible religion, where you can almost pick and choose the parts of the religion that do fit in with your lifestyle. And yeah, so I think it depends on the religion, but I do understand where Paige may be coming from in that sense. So yes, some religions are very need to be followed without question.
Black and white.
Definitely, very black and white. There's no grey area in those ones. Okay, so let's get some history behind religion and spirituality. So words that are translatable as spirituality first began to arise in the 5th century and only entered common use towards the end of the Middle Ages. But in a biblical context, the term means being animated by God or being driven by the Holy Spirit, as opposed to a life which rejects this influence. So if you had gone, you know, biblical definition of spirituality, it's very different to the current dictionary definition of spirituality. It is being animated by God. That's what being spiritual is.
Certainly the definitions you had earlier didn't imply from a spirituality perspective that they were animated by God.
Yeah, it didn't even imply that you needed a God to be spiritual at all. So definitely very different. It's moved on a lot since biblical context. an important influence on Western spirituality was the Neo-Vedanta, which was also known as Neo-Hinduism or Hindu Universalism, and a modern interpretation of Hinduism which developed in response to Western colonialism and Orientalism. It aims to present Hinduism as a homogenized ideal of Hinduism with Advaita Vedanta. Oh, I tried to pronounce this 1,000 times so I wouldn't stuff it up, and there I went, as its central doctrine. So I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? I looked into a little bit, and it refers to the recognition of the true self, Atman, which is pure consciousness, being the same as the highest reality, Brahman, which is also pure consciousness. So followers seek liberation and release by acquiring avidya, which is knowledge of the identity of Atman and Brahman. And attaining this liberation takes long preparation and training under the guidance of a guru. And it can also be found in non-orthodox Indian religious traditions, such as the Trantic Nath tradition. And I just found that very interesting, because some people you will say spiritual to and they will straight away think of Hindu and Indian, and it's not a traditional Hindu thing. So there was a lot of angry websites about Neo-Hinduism, saying that it ruined Hinduism, but obviously that's where the spiritual side of Hinduism that people associate with these days, that's where that came about. So that was fun facts.
A very fun fact indeed, Rachel.
Yes. So after the Second World War, spirituality and religion started to become disconnected, and spirituality became more oriented on subjective experience instead of attempts to place the self within a broader ontological context. That was in quotation marks. It was taken from somebody very important, I'm sure, and I just got rid of who the important person was. My bad. So a new conversation developed in which humanistic psychology, mystical and esoteric traditions, and Eastern religions are being blended to reach the true self by self-disclosure, free expression and meditation. So this is where the pick-it-yourself spirituality comes in. So that came in after the Second World War.
Why would it have come in after the Second World War? Would there have been some discontent on those affected by the war with religions, allowing the war to take place, perhaps?
Definitely.
Allowing their god to allow the war to take place?
Look, I'm not a big history buff, but I do believe, was it the Second World War that brought about Woodstock and all of those things that were against the war? Don't quote me on that, but I do believe
I think Woodstock might have been a few years later.
Oh, well, but, you know, yeah, that kind of time. Look, my memories are just going from watching Forrest Gump and knowing that he came back from a war. And they were very spiritual when he came back.
It's almost as if, In looking at what you're saying there about the Second World War changing people, as if they've come back and said, there's something missing.
Yeah.
Even though we've been doing what our religion have told us to do, there's something missing. Let's go and find it.
Yeah, my God used to be my answers for X, Y, and Z, but now I've seen things that my God cannot explain. So maybe I need to discover that myself. I feel like those would have been the thoughts that went through my head if I'd been in that situation. So the distinction between spiritual and religious became more common in the popular mind during the late 20th century, with the rise of secularism and the advent of the New Age movement. The New Age movement was a collection of Eastern-influenced metaphysical thought systems, a collection of theologies, hopes and expectations held together by eclectic teaching of salvation, of correct thinking and correct knowledge. It's a theology of feel-goodism and universal tolerance and moral relativism. So I feel like that is also a very common thought of being spiritual, is the feel-goodism is definitely being spiritual. So among other factors, declining membership of organized religions and the growth of secularism frequently used in contexts in which the term religion was formerly employed. So both theists and atheists have criticized that development. So the loss of organized religions and the gain of secularism. So With a bit of religious and spiritual history under our belts, we can see that in the biblical context, spirituality was a branch of Christianity. But over time, it seems to have developed from being animated by God and the Holy Spirit to being an entity of its own.
It's certainly the way it's sounding, Rachel.
Definitely. So the all-encompassing wholeness broken away from the rules, mix and match mashups we know as spirituality today.
We have a message from Jim telling us that there's no evidence for either spirituality or religion.
Yes, this one got me a little bit perplexed. So I would like to argue against that and say, well, you don't need evidence for spirituality because I do believe that that is something that is inside of you. So who needs the evidence of spirituality? It's either there or it isn't. And religion, when I'm thinking of religion, I think of, you know, the actual physicalness of religion, of the people and the buildings, and that there's so many different religions. How is it not evident that there is no religion? So yes, but it got me thinking, though. It did. Thanks, Jim.
Certainly did. And we have another message in. Do you consider Buddhism a religion or a spirituality? Buddha is considered a teacher rather than a god. Does religion require a god to be followed?
So, no, religion doesn't. So if you are thinking of our dictionary definitions of religion, then Buddhism definitely falls within religion. It has, you know, the structure, it has the followers, it has the particular worshipping of Buddha, regardless of him being a teacher or a god, he is still worshipped in a sense. But yes, I would say that Buddhism is definitely a religion, but Buddhist people are definitely more spiritual as well, because it's a very internal religion as well. You're back on our topic of spirituality versus religion this week. I wanted to dig deeper into why is it more popular to be spiritual instead of religious in the gay community or the LGBTIQ community. I can't just say gay, but I'm paraphrasing here. So the relationship between religion and lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people varies greatly across time and place, within and between different religions and sects, and regarding different forms of homosexuality, bisexuality, and transgenderism. So some of the authoritative bodies and doctrines of the world's largest religions can view the LGBTIQ community negatively. So it can range from quiet discouragement or explicitly forbidding same sexual practices or sex and gender reassignment among adherents, actively opposing social acceptance of LGBT identities, to the execution of people engaging in homosexual acts whilst tolerating sex and gender reassignment in specific cases.
So that's a range of variables, isn't it?
It is. And there are still places in the world where it could be illegal to engage in homosexual acts, but they will tolerate gender reassignment surgeries. So it's interesting how some of these religions rub off on their governments of those countries as well. So liberal and progressive voices within these religions tend to view the LGBT people more positively. And some liberal religious denominations even bless same-sex marriages, as well as accepting and marrying people who are transgendered. Spiritual individuals, aka the nuns or the spiritual but not religious types, tend to be more accepting of gay people because they've thrown off religions that view these things negatively. So they've insisted upon being spiritually independent, which gives them the freedom to choose their own attitude towards homosexuality rather than just obeying the laws of their church officials or fundamentalist doctrines. So whether this is a good thing or a bad thing depends on your point of view.
But it is personal, isn't it?
It is.
When you're talking about spirituality.
It is very personal, definitely. And so I go back to the spirituality being the pick and choose of what you want to take out of possibly religion or non-religion. It's how you feel on the inside. So it's going to differ for everybody. There may be spiritual people who still don't accept the LGBTI community, but it is more widely seen that they are. So,
and is that one of the reasons why is organized religion having such a negative view to homosexual people? Is that one of the reasons why homosexuals have left the organized religions?
Definitely. I think a lot of religions force homosexuals out of their religions, regardless of, you know, what their doctrines may say about, you know, loving everybody equally. They will show you a lot of unlove to get you to change. And if you can't change, then it's see you later, goodbye. And a lot of people end up leaving. Some leave on their own accord because of what they've seen happen to other people. No one tends to just leave without being unaffected by the churches, or
which is so sad, because these people who are being forced out may have so much to offer.
They may have incredible amounts to offer, but sometimes the church can't see past your big rainbow flag stuck on your forehead, apparently. So for me, growing up in a religious household where I was taught from a really young age that homosexuality was a bad sin, like it was almost worse than other sins like fighting with my brother or disobeying my parents. But then, you know, my parents would also say, all sin is equal in the eyes of God, you know. Don't talk about the splinter in your brother's eye when there's a log in your own, and that sort of thing. But, you know, homosexuality was a bad sin and God is not okay with that. But then developing into somebody who couldn't help but feel same-sex attracted, I felt a coldness from my religion and my God, who I always had thought loved me unconditionally. That unconditional word became a little more foreign, and, you know, what is unconditional when conditions are put in place? So I was made to believe by the church that I was less than, and that this book that dictates what we can and can't do had a hold over my life and my actions, and it was either, you know, hide or change. There was no acceptance for me at that time. So
were your parents on the same page?
My mum took a long time to come around, and when I first came out to my parents when I was 16, the conversation kind of went along the lines of, what's the church going to think of your father and I? And it wasn't necessarily like her saying, I don't approve of this. It was, what's the church going to think, and, you know, how are people going to look at your dad and stuff? But my dad, his words when I came out were, God loves you and I love you and that's all that matters. And that was a really nice thing for me. So I told my dad first, and then I said, could he tell mum? Because he had this lovely understanding, and he said, no, Rachel, you have to tell mum. And I burst into tears because I knew that that was going to be the hard conversation. So, I got mad at the church during the coming out period, at how hypocritical they could be, when if God loves me so unconditionally, then why was I all of a sudden destined for hell? Like, why am I going to end up in hell when I've always done the right thing and I brought all my friends to church and I still love God, but, you know, I'm going to hell now because I'm gay. So it took me a really long time to sort through my feelings about religion and the religious institutes that I grew up in, just like the church. But I knew deep inside me that I still had a connection to a greater being. I still had Jesus in my life, and context around my religion. And when it was formed, became a large part of why I call myself more spiritual than religious these days. So that's, you know, a bit of why I say now that I'm more spiritual than religious, I guess. It's easier to know that it's inside of me, and I don't need to necessarily be going to church, and I don't necessarily need to take my friends to church and do all of the outreach and all of that. But I still know that there is a greater being for me out there, and whether that is God, because sometimes I question that as well. So I'm definitely on a bit of a spiritual journey. But I have a little clip that I want to play for you. So a good friend of mine in Sydney played this video for me, and it really reflects my feelings about being a Christian but also hating religion. So, like, I sometimes get really mad at religion, but this video just is perfect. So it's by Jefferson Bethke, who is a American poet, and it's titled Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus.
What if I told you Jesus came to abolish religion? What if I told you voting Republican really wasn't his mission? What if I told you Republican doesn't automatically mean Christian, and just because you call some people blind doesn't automatically give you vision? I mean, if religion is so great, why has it started so many wars? Why does it build huge churches but fails to feed the poor? Tell single moms God doesn't love them if they've ever had a divorce, but in the Old Testament, God actually calls religious people whores. Religion might preach grace, but another thing they practice, tend to ridicule God's people, they did it to John the Baptist. They can't fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket. See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat. But it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. Now I ain't judging, I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. See, this was me too, but no one seemed to be onto me. Acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on Sunday I'd go to church, but Saturday getting faded, acting if I was simply created to just have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of neatness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It's not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure, I don't have to hide my sin. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him. See, because when I was God's enemy, and certainly not a fan, He looked down and said, I want that man. Which is why Jesus hated religion, and for it He called them fools. Don't you see, so much better than just following some rules? Now let me clarify. I love the church, I love the Bible, and yes, I believe in sin. But if Jesus came to your church, would they actually let Him in? See, remember, He was called a glutton and a drunkard by religious men. But the Son of God never supports self-righteousness, not now, not then. Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention, how Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection. See, because religion says do, Jesus says done. Religion says slave, Jesus says son. Religion puts you in bondage, while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. And that's why religion and Jesus are two different clans. Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God searching for man. Which is why salvation is freely mine, and forgiveness is my own. Not based on my merits, but Jesus' obedience alone. Because He took the crown of thorns and the blood dripped down His face. He took what we all deserve. I guess that's why you call it grace. And while being murdered, He yelled, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because when He was dangling on that cross, He was thinking of you. And He absorbed all your sin, and He buried it in the tomb, which is why I'm kneeling at the cross saying, come on, there's room. So for religion, no, I hate it. In fact, I literally resent it. Because when Jesus said, it is finished, I believe He meant it.
And Rachel, there goes Rex again to tell us we've got a couple more messages. We have a message from Betty to say that she's loving the sound effects.
Thanks,
Betty. Hope you enjoyed that donkey in the middle of the live read. Colin, loving this whole program. Very thought-provoking conversation. Well done to both hosts. I've enjoyed listening in. Thank you so much, Colin.
Thanks, Colin.
We have enjoyed ourselves here in the studio tonight. Love that clip from another... that's from Paige. There it is. I love that clip. Everyone in the house just cheered at that. It was a very good clip, Rachel.
It is.
Well chosen.
It is amazing. Amazing. I love that one. I can post a link up on our social media page as well at the end of tonight.
And I just should acknowledge both Tim and Jenny who are also listening in.
Oh, thanks, Tim and Jenny. So, as a bit of a wrap-up to our spiritual versus religious, so is it still valid to be spiritual but not religious? So, based on their definitions, the major difference between religion and spirituality is one of believing versus one of being. Religion's focus is the content of one's belief and the outworking of that belief. Spirituality is the process of becoming more attuned to unworldly affairs. It's possible to be religious without being spiritual, and spiritual without being religious.
That's an interesting statement.
Yeah, so that's a really nice way to just wrap it up. And with that, I think David and I will say goodbye for tonight.
Thank you very much for your time here tonight, Rachel. I've enjoyed working with you tonight.
Thank you so much for coming in here and saving me. It's been a pleasure having you, and it's been a pleasure having all of our faithful listeners message in tonight. We really appreciate it.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.